Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
That's right, John. We are coming at you live after a lot of technical difficulties.
There was a vast number of restarts today on this computer, and a decent number of what did we do a second ago? Repairing it via the disk utility.
Repairing permissions.
Yes, that's right. Repairing the permissions.
Yes.
And so hopefully this is all good. I'm gonna check the audio occasionally here. That's why I have these headphones sitting over here next to me, just to make sure that we're not like garbled or anything.
Cool.
Because garblage is just like garbage.
Exactly.
And we don't ever want to listen to any of that.
Exactly. So John. What have you been up to this week?
This week, what have I been up to this week? Not a whole lot, other than like today while I was having the computer issues, I downloaded on my 3DS. I was just like, I'm waiting for this little status bar to go ahead, and I can't do any work on this, obviously. And so I downloaded it via the eShop. Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, which is a video game from the Game Gear.
Yes, we talked about this last week.
Right, but I was playing Tales Adventure last week, and
this
week I was just like, I need something completely fresh, something completely new. Let's just go with a Mean Bean Machine.
That's
however you
wild.
Say that. What have you been up to this week, man?
So I'll talk about this later in the show. I went up to Chicago over the weekend.
That's right.
And went to the AMC Best Picture Showcase. Watched 8 films in 24 hours.
I enjoyed your tweets.
Oh, thanks.
After
yeah,
everyone.
Oh, that's the thing. Like, there's far less time than you would think after those movies. And like, you're trying to like get up, go to the bathroom, get like a refill on your drink, get back, settled in, and tweet at the same time. I also realized pretty quickly that I needed to turn off my phone during the movies because I got through like the third movie and I had been like on it so much and all this kind of stuff that I was down to like 60%.
Oh,
like,
no.
This has to last.
Yeah.
Like until tomorrow. Because what we did was we got done with the movie marathon about 5:30 and then we took a cab straight to Midway Airport, got on a plane at 8 o'clock back in town at home by 10:30.
That is nuts, first of all.
Yes.
Just absolutely insane. But like, when did you get there? Like, were you able to spend any time up in Chicago and like do anything fun while you were there?
Oh, yeah. So, well, we got up there. This is a crazy story. So, so Friday, I had waited and I don't know if it was because I had waited or just because they weren't cheap, but like the cheapest flights were like from 5 o'clock afterwards, you know, from here on Friday from Nashville to Chicago. And so we like, okay, I don't want to pay $400 per ticket,
right?
You know, on one way up there. So I'm going to get one of these later flights. Well, it starts snowing and sleeting in Nashville as we were driving
man.
To the airport. Like we're driving to the airport and it's snowing and sleeting. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And we've had all these ice storms over the past, you know, like week or so and
yep.
Shut down the airport several times.
Well, the whole time, like there's friends of ours that were like out of town. And they were like,
they were gonna fly
back into Nashville.
They'd done a show.
Yeah, they'd done a show out like in Texas or something, and there was no snow there.
Yeah.
But they were flying back into town, and it was like the Nashville airport was just shut down, and they were delayed, and they were delayed again, and the Nashville airport was like, yeah, we're not gonna open until the next day, and so they ended up flying into Memphis, and then taking a Greyhound bus back to Nashville because that was the only way for them to get home, and it had been like it was 48 hours late, but they finally arrived in Nashville. So like. This was a real possibility for you to get stuck here and not make it to Chicago. Because even if you'd driven at that point,
yeah.
There was really no way for you to make it before the first film started.
Yeah. Our friend that we were talking about, he said when all was said and done, he had taken 3 planes, a rental car, a Greyhound through more than 2 cities than originally planned, got back a day later and traveled over 2,300 miles to play one show.
For an hour, right?
Yeah, yes,
it was like an hour. It was like an hour long show.
For an hour.
Yeah.
He said he'd do it again though. But yeah, what did you just ask?
I was saying that there's no way, like if you had missed that flight, there was really no way for you to make it.
Like, so like there were 2 other flights after ours scheduled, but we got to the airport, we checked in, we didn't have any luggage because we're just like going up for the, you know, like we're not gonna like check bags or anything like that.
Right.
And like we're going to the plane and she's like, you guys are lucky you're catching the last flight out of Nashville. And I'm like, what?
I feel like you guys were leaving like the zombie apocalypse or something. It's, this is the last flight out of here.
Yes. Yeah, I felt like that. I felt like it was World War Z and I'm hopping on an airplane.
You kind of like are just staring out the windows out at the desolation of the snow.
Yeah.
And you're just going, I'm the last man leaving Nashville.
Exactly. Well, what was crazy was like they were, you know, because it was Southwest had canceled all the rest of their flights. And so like people like to all destinations. And so like people were trying to get on our flight. There were all these standby passengers. They were trying to like catch other airlines before they on their last flights, you know, out.
Did you have to arm wrestle anybody for a seat?
No, because we were there. I have another story in a second, though, about some other crazy
about thing. Arm wrestling someone for something?
Not arm wrestling, no.
I feel like your weekend was a Three Stooges movie or like some sort of like a weird like buddy comedy.
It was a wild ride, I'll tell you that. We got onto the plane and we sat like literally on the tarmac because they were trying to de-ice the plane wings. So
that's good news. You always want to hear that.
We pulled back from, you know, from the airport and we just sat there and then we were like, what is happening? And finally the pilot gets on and he's like, hey, it's going to be a short delay. We've got to have someone come in and de-ice the wings. And so like they get this big sprayer out.
I was about to say, when you look out the door and there's like, there's like four or five people up there with ice scrapers, tiny little hand ice scrapers, and they're just chipping the ice off the wing.
Yeah. That'd be hilarious. Yeah, like just people hanging on, like chipping ice. But it was like this guy in this, like, it looked like a kind of a, I don't know, like one of those buckets off of a truck that you use to like work on power lines.
Oh.
Like, and he had a big hose and he's spraying this de-icer and you could kind of smell it. It smelled a lot like antifreeze you put in your car.
It probably was basically
not antifreeze. What is it that you put in
Windshield
wiper fluid. Yeah, that stuff. The de-icer, windshield wiper fluid.
You guys probably all have like lung cancer now. No, I'm sure. Yeah. It.
So we did that and then we finally took off. But then, we got there.
And the wings didn't freeze and fall off or anything.
Wings didn't freeze. Although we did have an incident at the airport. I forgot to say this. So whenever I bought the tickets, I had forgotten.
Dude, what in the world?
I had forgotten to. So my wife has a nickname that she goes by. She never doesn't go by her real name.
Right.
And so I had accidentally put the nickname down on her ticket. Well, that is not the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
And so like. They at first weren't going to like, you know, let her through. And she eventually found her Sam's card has her nickname on it and a picture photo ID. So then they were going to let her through, but they had to pat her down, search through all of her stuff. Like, luckily we only had our backpacks, you know, and I had two backpacks. She just had her purse. It wasn't a whole lot to search through. So there was this huge delay.
I feel like somebody just lost their job though. I feel like a TSA probably just like fired somebody at the Nashville airport because they let somebody through on a Sam's card.
Probably. Well, what was funny was I went up to the,
do you accept Sam's card for,
after the Southwest lady got done like sending all these people to the planes they're supposed to go to, I go up there and I'm like, hey, can you change her name for the flight back? Because I was like, Chicago's not going to be
as forgiving with this. No, not at all.
And she's like,
Chicago's like the busiest airport in the world, right?
I don't know about that, but it's big. I just don't like, you know, Nashville is just kind of like, okay, people are a little friendlier down south.
I want to say that's generally the
unless you're at Dallas Fort Worth Airport. That thing's a mess. shout out to my folks in Dallas.
Woohoo! I've been there too. It kind of is a mess.
I was like, I don't know if
I don't think it's their fault though. Because never mind.
I don't know if they're gonna be as forgiving at Midway. So I'm like, hey, can you change? I explained to her what happened. She's like. Or she's like, hey, so what happened? I was like, well, my wife, you know, like I put down her nickname and she's like, oh, and then she said her name and I'm like, yep, that's her. And like, I guess they had flagged her or something because she immediately knew who she was.
She knew who it was.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So that was our.
So she's on like some terrorist watch list somewhere.
Maybe not that, but you know, Southwest at least has their eye on her.
Oh man.
So we went there, Got there, took a taxi to eat some dinner, grabbed some pizza, some great deep dish Chicago pizza.
Where from?
Chicago Pizza and Grinder Company.
Nice. Is that one of the places that like the locals know, or yes. is this more of like the touristy kind of thing?
No, it's like a local thing, but cool. Then like there's a lot, like it is definitely a tourist destination. Like you should go there if you're touristing the city. Is that right?
If you're touring the city, yes. You should go there. So what's the place called again?
Chicago Pizza and Grinder Company.
Is there only one, or is there a chain?
Nope. Only one. And like, what's crazy is like, you walk in, and even if there's like 20 of you out there, there's like this guy who's like taking like reservations, you know, like he doesn't have a desk. He doesn't have a piece of paper. He remembers who you are, and he remembers when you got there. He's like, you know, you have two, it'll be 40 minutes. And so you sit there and like, you know, he lets everyone else go, and like he gets to you whenever you need it. And then he lets
all the people who slipped him hundreds go.
Yeah. Like in the summertime, we were there in the summertime. There's like people out in the street waiting and all this kind of stuff. He remembers who you are.
I've been there before. This wasn't in the summertime.
No. Correct.
I can imagine it's very, very cold in the Windy City around this time of year.
That's true.
Okay.
It's this delicious deep dish pizza. It's like, you know, almost a pot pie pizza is the way I would describe it. They make it in this bowl and they turn it around and the dough like melts over the top.
What did you order and what would you recommend people order?
There's only
We're turning into a tourist podcast, Chris.
Exactly. There's only one
pizza. Trying to get us a new sponsor from this pizza place.
There's one pizza. It has some options. You can eat it with mushrooms or without mushrooms.
Okay.
And that's it. Or white or wheat crust is the other.
That's awesome.
there's, you know, options for salad. We got the chef's salad. It's really good. Like there's this poppy seed and dressing that you can mix with this garlic dressing. And it's really, really good. Like it's amazing. I've never tasted anything like it.
That's awesome.
And then the one option for the pizza.
The salad dressing does sound like kind of an unholy concoction of craziness. But
yes, poppy seed and garlic.
It's just that's gonna be good for your breath later on in the evening.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not saying that. You know, no, you're I'm gonna totally, win totally any good. Friends or influence any people in conversation. But you will have a full belly.
I love it. Okay, so was there anything else? I mean, obviously you didn't have a ton of time, but you did that, and then yeah, like, was there anything
else? We just
else?
Went to the hotel, and I made sure we were within a walking distance to the
theater.
So we got up, you know, on the way, grabbed some Dunkin' Donuts, got the theater a couple hours ahead of time, about 8:00. There was probably about 100 people standing in line.
Nice.
Yeah, but like they were both divided equally, it kind of seemed, between the group who was doing the 24-hour marathon and the people who were finishing the 2-day marathon of the movies. Luckily, like we got like the seats I always love, like dead center, like right up like where the screen's at eye level. Like I couldn't have gotten more perfect seats. Like,
that's awesome.
If it was an empty theater, I would have chosen those.
That's perfect, dude. And so this time, I remember like a couple podcasts ago, you mentioned that one of the years that you did this, you didn't sit with Deeds. Like you ended up like sitting in a different place because someone stole your seat or something.
No.
Like
well,
this.
We had gotten there early and gotten seats.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'd gotten up and gone to the bathroom.
But that
and
didn't
while
happen.
I was gone, no, that didn't happen.
While you were gone, someone sat in your seat.
I stayed planted in that seat.
You weren't going to the bathroom for anything.
Also, Dee Dee was like, while we were standing in line, she's like, I was thinking about that what happened last year, and I'm not gonna let that happen again. I'm just way too nice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun, dude. Like we got, you know, like it was, oh man, in the airport I could not stay awake. And
on the way back, you mean?
On the way back, yeah.
Did you like I can imagine just like falling asleep and then they just
yeah, the last movie was really hard to sit through. Like yeah. I was just kind of like I was, you know, fidgeting a lot and just like I could not stay. It was hard to stay engaged, but I did it. And I saw every second of every single movie.
Like you didn't blink at all?
No, I blinked.
Like you didn't miss a frame?
No, I'm not saying that. I won't go that far.
That would be really funny.
I did. Like I was kind of tired before the first movie started. And so I was sitting there and I had fallen asleep like while I was waiting for the end. When everything goes dark, everybody, you know, claps and shouts
man.
And they're scared the living daylights out of me. So I kind of started the whole thing with a jolt.
I can just imagine, like, what if you spilled popcorn everywhere?
That would have been hilarious.
It would be awesome. Oh man. Well, dude, that's awesome.
Yep.
That sounds amazing. Sounds like you had a great time and you gave something for other people to do next year.
Yes.
Around this time of year.
Yeah.
Up in Chicago.
Yes.
People are going to be flying around from all over the world to Chicago to do the exact experience that you did.
They should. It was great. Yeah. Like definitely do that. And we'll talk about the movies in a little bit.
Yes. But first, the news!
John, there was some breaking news while we were sitting here.
Did it shatter? Was it just shattering news?
I don't know, because my phone now will not access it.
I feel like whenever we have breaking news, I need to have like a vase, a very cheap like vase that I can just shatter over here. Breaking news.
Right now, my phone will not access any of the internet.
Just shatter your phone. Break your phone in half right now, and that'll be the news breaking.
I think that's a bad idea.
That's a really bad idea. But it's possible because it's the iPhone 6, so
that's
true. Possible to bend it.
That's true. All right, so brand new news.
Brand new news. So is this about the band Brand New?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Harrison Ford is coming back for the Blade Runner sequel.
Yes!
And Denis Villeneuve, who directed Prisoners, is in negotiations to direct.
Dude, so any news that involves Harrison Ford in more movies,
yes,
I am all about.
Let's put him in more movies.
Like every movie. Why is Harrison
why
Ford
is
just
not in every yeah,
why
movie?
Is, why whenever you write a script in Hollywood, why do you not just keep like this one part open for Harrison Ford, you know?
That's just we have this role. It serves no purpose other than to get Harrison Ford into the movie.
It's just like he's the dude at a bar, like across the room or whatever.
Yes.
Let's drink his compliments of Harrison Ford. That's it. He just nods at you.
He would like to be in your movie. According to Deadline, the Wonder Woman movie is going to begin filming this fall.
That's insane, man.
Yes, starring Gal Gadot. I'm super pumped about this.
Dude, I'm excited for it too. I am like cautiously optimistic about the entire DC slate of movies right now.
Oh yeah, of course.
So I mean, we'll see. I'm really amped about the idea of Wonder Woman and the idea that we're having one of the big three as a female protagonist in like a big movie. Like we haven't had this happen on the superhero side of things, like where we've had a female superhero in her own movie. You know, like that's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm super excited.
Speaking of films, okay, fan film this week was released. It was a Power Rangers fan film. It was directed by Joseph Kahn, produced by Adi Shankar, starring James Vanderbeek and Katie Sackhoff. It was up on the internets. It has now been pulled.
It's not on the interwebs anymore.
Yep, that also happened while we were sitting here.
Really?
Yep.
Dude, lots of news is breaking.
I know.
Like,
what are we doing?
I need more vases.
To break.
Yeah, to break whenever all this happens.
Shankar, the producer, says, to whom may concern, today I was deeply disappointed to learn that Saban Brands decided to attack my... He's very inflammatory. To attack my Power Rangers bootleg universe one-shot film. To all the viewers that enjoyed this film, I consider this an outright infringement of freedom of expression and individualism, even though he was using their characters without their permission.
Okay, so, but could you make the argument that this is, like, a parody or is, like, something like that? I mean, it's, like, not obviously not making fun of it or not, you know, making a big statement, but it was, like, it was wildly different, and so obviously it couldn't be misconstrued as the same thing, like as like a Power Rangers thing. Like, yeah. I don't know, you know?
Apparently this is still up on Facebook. You can watch the whole thing on Facebook.
I'm Facebook right now.
I'll post this link in stayontargetpodcast.com.
I was wondering how that works, because obviously you can't pull it from the internet like forever or whatever. Like stuff just gets, there's not a universal delete button like Dr. Doofenshmirtz on in episodes of Phineas and Ferb wants there to be.
That's true. I mean, you have to get the site hosting it to take it down. You basically, usually like you can get them to do it or you threaten legal action.
Yeah.
I'm sure like Saban will try to sue Facebook and then they'll take it down.
This in particular will live on Pirate Bay forever.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, there will always be ways to get it. I am not disputing that. all right, so we have some television news.
Okay.
First of all, it's been confirmed by Variety and I think Deadline as well. Let me pull up this article.
I almost said you heard it here first, but I realized that you were about to quote someone else, and I was like, I don't think you hear.
Yeah.
You know.
The Atom television show is coming. So this is what Variety is reporting.
Okay.
All right. The spinoff would star Arrow's Brandon Routh, who plays Ray Palmer, the Atom, plus Katie Lotz, along with The Flash's Victor Garber as Dr. Martin Stein, and Wentworth Miller as villain Leonard Snart / Captain Cold.
This is interesting news to me.
Yeah. Spoilers for Arrow. Should we do the spoiler for Arrow or not?
I don't know. I mean, like, we could talk about it a little bit, but...
Let's just say there are reasons why it does not make sense that Katie Lotz would be on this show.
Right. And so, like, that's weird. That's a weird thing. And we'll talk maybe a little bit more about that aspect of it into the details whenever we do this week's Arrow on Target.
Yep.
But as far as, like, Brandon Routh being the Atom and things, like, I've had mixed feelings about him on that show in particular. So, yeah. Like, if breaking him out into his own show actually gives him the development and gives him, like, room to make this thing his own and make me care about it,
yeah,
I'm all for that.
I mean, I think it's a good thing, yeah, like, because you're right. He doesn't seem to fit in the Arrow universe.
Correct.
And if this is just a way to, like, separate him out as another hero, like, that sounds cool.
Yeah,
like, I'll watch it.
I mean, I like aspects of his character, and especially, like, this week there was a couple of moments, like, where he was more down to earth and more accessible for me, and so I don't, like, actively dislike his character, but I just don't have a reason to care while he's on the show Arrow.
Yeah.
The different characters taking Leonard Snart from the Flash and potentially using him as a big villain in this show, that seems a little strange to me because Captain Cold has always been a Flash villain and is integral to a lot of the stories and is a fun story and always brings an element of awesomeness whenever he shows up in the comics of the Flash. So, like, to take him away, and maybe they were not talking about taking him away. Maybe it's just kind of in addition to, like, we're crossing over these villains, and that's one that they can announce and say, here's one that you should attach to that we're going to use.
Right.
But to take him away, if they take him away from the Flash, like, that would be disappointing to me. So, yeah. Anyway.
Supergirl news. It's keeping it at the CW, and that's that.
This is actually on CBS, but it's the same parent company. So
same producers.
Yes.
Supergirl's mother has been cast. Her stepsister has been cast. Alex Danvers is her stepsister's name. And Hank Henshaw has been cast as a character.
Okay.
I guess Hank Henshaw in the comics, he was Cyborg Superman later on. I have no idea how, like, if he's going to see your series regular or what's going on. Like, what, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you gotta have a decent number of characters, and especially, like, the way that the creators of The Flash and of Arrow, the way they like to tell stories is, through a cast of characters. And, like, that's just kind of where they found their stride. And arguably, like, I liked season one of Arrow when it was pretty much just Oliver or just the Arrow running around and he didn't have a big team.
Yeah.
But they introduce a lot of, like, interesting dynamics and a lot of interesting storylines and drama via a big cast. So I'm just hoping, I mean, there's a lot of things about this that it seems like, I mean, you were reading some of the descriptions and it seems like a lot of the same kind of boilerplate characters that we've had on, like, The Flash and, like, on Arrow. So, like, I'm wondering, like, hopefully this gets its own vibe, gets its own different, gets its own legs.
Yeah. I'm still hoping for a tie into the larger. And I know that they said that they're all separate, but, like, I want this to tie into Arrow. I hope Supergirl ties into the Flash, Arrow, Atom universe.
Agreed.
Rather than trying to tie into the cinematic universe. Like, if we've got to keep them separate, let's tie it into the other TV shows and let's cross them over. Let's keep it cohesive.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Some interesting news. They also put out Warner Brothers also putting out a casting call. This was their description. We are looking for a body double for a DC comic superhero. You must be available for an interview this Thursday, and if selected, will work several days during March. This is for a CBS pilot. You should be 5'11 or taller and be square-jawed and have a ripped physique. You must send a body shot, shirtless, sizes, current contact info, and your first five to email to the email. In the subject line, write Superman.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yes.
That's interesting.
That sounds like Superman is going to be on the Supergirl pilot.
Okay. So if he is, in what capacity would he be on this show? Like, I mean, like, we introduced, like, the Supergirl in numerous different ways throughout the history of comics. Obviously, like, she has a different origin story depending on which version you look at. But I don't know, man. It's so strange to me if we're just starting and there's a Superman in this world.
Yeah.
And you know, that whole thing. So, like, I don't know. I mean, it just seems weird to me to do that.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't think that he's not going to be a series regular, or else they would treat it like a series regular and announce it like everyone else.
Of course.
But I think it will be cool to kind of see, like, okay, Superman does exist in this world, And hopefully it is tied into the, you know, Green Arrow Flash world. And that means Superman exists in that world as well. We already know that at least Bruce Wayne exists in that world because he's been referred to in The Flash.
Right. On and the newspapers and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Future news.
Actually in, yeah, future news.
Yeah.
So, it'll, you know, it's interesting to see those connections. And I will, like, even if it's not necessarily, like, maybe it's Clark Kent, you know, like, who knows? But it'd be cool to see, like, just some kind of tie-in.
Agreed.
To the larger universe. I mean, it automatically sets it up like, okay, this is a Supergirl movie, or sorry, Supergirl show, but it exists in this larger universe, which is amazing.
That's cool. And I love that idea. And what's really funny about the way they're handling this, it seems like they're doing what Marvel did with their movies. They're trying to do it with this TV universe, like the DC TV universe. They're approaching it very similarly, where they're making a bigger universe. They are making a point to bring in other characters. Like if he shows up in the pilot or he shows up in you know some of these other episodes, it's like there's these Easter eggs where you know in some Marvel movie, all of a sudden Nick Fury would show up. I mean, it feels very cool like that, where you just feel like you're a part of something bigger.
Right.
So I mean, I'm into it, man. I'm into it.
Yeah. Moving on to some games news. The biggest news, still superhero news. The next Batman Arkham Knight has been rated M for mature.
That's weird.
It's not weird. It's awesome.
No, I think it's awesome. And I'm honestly kind of surprised that Arkham City wasn't rated M.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of dark kind of things, that they take on in that. And so I don't know if this is just, oh, we're going to be able to do more, like blood or like, I mean, obviously Batman isn't going to be killing people.
So basically, the Sefton Hill, he's the founder of Rocksteady, put out a statement. He said, from our point of view, we never wrote it or made it with a rating in mind. We never did that in the previous two games.
Right.
We just felt that this is the story we really wanted to tell. I'm not blind to the fact that the M rating does mean some fans will miss out. I don't want to be oblivious to that fact. It would have been wrong to water down the game and deliver a story we didn't believe in to keep the game mass market or enable it for more people. We feel that that's the wrong way to go about it. We said we love the story and we don't want to jeopardize that. I was reading some other comments that he had made, and he was basically saying, you know, like, we took this and this game doesn't have any language. It doesn't have any blood or gore.
Yeah.
It's just a lot darker thematically than the other movies.
Progressively,
the other games. Sorry.
Progressively, those games have gotten more and more that way. And it's thematically, I think it fits. And you're making a wider world. And so you're going to be telling some stories with hopefully more gravitas and more weight. And so that you've got to push the limit even farther than you have before, as far as like the stress on Batman.
Yeah.
So my thing is, in his statement, he says it's going to limit our market. If you look at the sales numbers of like a Call of Duty,
right,
every year, that doesn't mean much. Like, I mean, as far as like limiting, like if you say, okay, you have this big group of people and then you rate it M and it's not as big, I don't know if that's really the case anymore.
Well,
I mean, I just think people find a way to buy these games.
Kind of. Like, you have to look at it two different ways. You know, Call of Duty is definitely a different audience, and the fact that it's M, you know, rated M, doesn't necessarily like matter with that audience. Because you think about the player base for that audience, you know, you have a huge pool of gamers who are over 18 who can buy them on their own.
Right.
You think, look at something like a Batman game, skews a lot younger. And so you're going to have you know, kids who have to go out and, you know, get their parents to buy this game for them.
Right.
And then their parents question, you know, what's the content in here and all this kind of stuff. Like, I don't think that, you know, like rating an M will grow the player base.
Definitely not.
So it will shrink it. It's just a question of how much it will shrink it. You know what I mean?
That's true. I just know, like, every time, like, whenever a Call of Duty comes out or, like, a new game like that comes, like, Battlefield or whatever, you inevitably see people being like, well, I'm just going to give this to my kid. You know that I'm just buying this for my kid. Why are you letting me buy it?
And that's
the thing is, like, there are lots and lots of people that just go out and do that because they either, you know, don't care or they've looked at it and said, hey, my kid is fine to play this.
Right, but you also, I know friends who have kids who do not let them play them whenever whenever they have a whole bunch of language or they're rated M for, you know, like one thing or another. And it's just like, okay, you know, like this will inevitably shrink the player base.
No, that's a really good point. That's
but it
really
does make me like, this is the thing I love about it. Like this, whenever I came, this news came up, I was honestly more excited about the game because I'm like, man, they are telling the story they want to tell. This is a no holds barred, you know, Batman. They're not being held back by their by the studio. Basically, I was reading in the interview with him. I think IGN did it that I read earlier this week. And whenever it was rated M, Hill saw that, got the email in the morning or something like that, and was like, man, they're going to make us water down our game. They're going to, because Warner Brothers had basically done some testing and said, okay, in order to get a, if you include these scenes here, you're going to get a, an M rating. And he was like, they're going to make us take those scenes out. And he's like, and they're key scenes. And so he was kind of bummed out. Basically, he got a call from the producers, like, what do you want to do? And he said, told them what he wanted to do, why he wanted to keep the content in there. And they said, all right. And so they went with it. And it's just like, I love that. Like, you know, you took something that you took a creator at his word that we need these here and that this is the better story to tell than a watered down version. And they're taking a chance on it.
So what's funny about this is, aside from the comics, which have skewed into the, like the M ratings and like 18 and above ratings before, I want to say this is the first medium that has actually gotten that type of a rating, like an 18 and above rating. There's not been a movie, obviously, that is, you know, has been an 18 and above. There hasn't been a game in the past that's 18 and above. And while you may like skew some of the animated movies to an older audience, there hasn't been anything that's been like this. And so like, other than the comics, but the comics, they kind of just let the storytellers do their thing there. So like, I'm interested to see if this is maybe an extension of that. And then to maybe see if this is an extension of maybe where they're going with some of the cinematic universe moving ahead. I don't know. You know, I don't see an R-rated Batman versus Superman happening.
Right.
I don't see an R-rated Wonder Woman happening.
Right.
But it's like, if they are dealing with more of these like things, maybe they're going to just let the artists and let the storytellers do their thing. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, this is probably as close as we will get to an R-rated Batman movie.
Very true.
You know?
Yeah.
With dark enough themes to warrant that.
Yeah.
The last bit of movie news, I forgot to mention this earlier. Neil Blomkamp's Alien movie. We talked about this last week on the podcast.
That's right.
The fact that it's happening.
Yep.
It is ignoring Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection,
which is, I think, what you had suggested. You were like, I don't know if it's just going to ignore this and then, you know, and then basically the answer is yes.
Right. Yeah. And so I think that's, you know, a good move. I think it opens up a lot more storytelling possibilities if you hadn't ignored them. And I think that's okay. Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
There is potentially a new expansion for Hearthstone coming out.
Ooh.
It is.
Back into the games.
Yes, it is. Sorry for the. We're just jumping around.
This is just completely like back and forth and back and forth. It's okay.
It's potentially called Blackrock Mountain Adventure. It's probably not called that, but that's what someone who was dating mining found. The only
sounds
thing I
like
care,
Big Rock Candy Mountain or whatever it
exactly,
is.
Exactly, yeah. The only thing I care about, though, is when is the Hearthstone game coming to iPhone? That's
man,
all I care about.
Man, I'm excited for that. That's the only time like I will probably play it. Like, is because I don't have like an iPad that is super functional. That's the only way I'll play it. So
is it just semi-functional?
Well, I mean, it's like it's just slower.
Is it older?
It's older.
Yeah, when I have an iPad 2 and it runs okay on there. It's just not, you know, fun on there.
So do you play it on desktop whenever you play it or whatever?
More normally, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and it's nice whenever I'm sitting there, like either working or just like, you know, fooling. Like tonight when I post the podcast, whenever I'm waiting for things to do things, you know, I'll probably like play around while I'm sitting there. You know, like that's kind of whenever I play it. But if it was in the palm of my hand, and I could play it throughout the day,
all the time,
on any breaks,
dude, all the time,
waiting for videos to render,
all the time,
rendering time, yes. All the time in important meetings.
Totally all the time.
Yes.
If Chris's bosses are listening to this,
I assure you they are not. Another week, another.
What if I like text them or email them like, Destiny don't listen to the podcast this week, guys?
They still wouldn't. Hey, that's, yeah.
I love it.
Oh, man. You can now move items between your characters in Destiny with the companion app. Now, I have not tried this out. I tried to update my app and it wouldn't update. I do not have the new app update. Maybe you will. Maybe you should launch it. Just find out.
That's what I'm doing.
My big question is, can you move gear between your characters and the vault? That's what I want to know.
Why, though? Why would you want to know that?
Just because, like, a lot of times, you know, like, I could do some... I spend a lot of time doing inventory management inside the game. I'd rather do inventory management on my... Like, they even, for as the example, Bungie, like, used, like, okay, well, you're sitting there wanting to buy something from Xur, and you don't have enough strange coin, but you realize your other character has some strange coin. You can just click it over to this character.
Yes, you can.
You can do it from the vault.
Okay, so here's how it works.
All right.
Yes, I have things in my vault right now, and I selected my character up in the app, and I slide over in the inventory to where it says vault. So past gear, past inventory, over to vault. And I select the item, and it says manage item, and it says take from vault. I click take from vault. Please wait while your item is transferred. What if it just lost it? What if it just lost my like exotic weapon or something? And then I go back out. And I look at the character again, and let me see, in my inventory now, or my gear, I should technically have that weapon that I just took out. Let me see if I do.
Well, this is amazing.
And I do!
Yeah, this is amazing, because that's what I've always wanted to do. Like,
how do I take it from character to character? And I manage item, and I move to vault. That's how you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to move everything through the vault.
You still have to do it through the vault?
I would imagine so, because I can't see, like, whenever I'm on my... So I'll go to my hunter. Whenever I'm on my hunter, I don't think I can see what my other people have. I can only see what is in the vault.
That's ridiculous.
So you have to put it in the vault, then take it from the vault. But you're doing it all within the app, so it's all just clicking with your thumb.
Yeah, that's still
loading time for you to fly to the tower,
right.
Fly back from the tower. That's inevitably, like, that's the very first thing. It takes me 20 minutes to get into an actual game sometimes because I'm going, oh, I forgot this. I forgot that.
Yeah, I mean, that was my point is, cool. Like, you know, I want to be able to get things from everywhere. I guess you just still have to use the vault, which is sucky, but cool. This is faster than doing it in-game.
This is amazing.
Yeah, so, like, this is the best part. I can be working on a game and I can just quit out of it without having to, like, hey, I need to go to the tower and, like, put these things back
to
where they need to be.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
This is cool.
Anyone who doesn't know Destiny has no idea what we're talking about.
And that's okay because the vault is a frustrating thing.
And imagine 1,000 tiny pinpricks.
What?
On the palm of your hand.
No! That is not what this is like.
That's like the vault.
That is not what that is like.
That's true. Well, that's the news.
All right. Time to talk about some movies.
Movies. So this last week was I think 87th Academy Awards, something like that.
Yeah, I thought you were about to tell your whole first, like the whole first section of this podcast and start it over again.
Yeah, I have a really bad memory. Yeah, 87th Academy Awards. So what I was planning on doing is talking about the movies that I experienced during the Best Picture Showcase.
Yeah.
Because largely they were the ones who won.
Correct.
Yes. There were some other ones in there, but
there's some big winners though. I mean, like,
yeah,
as far as that goes, like three particular, like, really big winners.
So I'm going to tell you, like, there are movies that, like, from this year's Academy Awards that you should definitely see. You should definitely see all the Academy or the Best Picture nominees. You should see Foxcatcher. You should see Interstellar.
You should see the Lego Movie.
You should
even
see the
though
Lego Movie.
Only the song was nominated.
Yeah. And so whenever we were sitting there, we went to an Oscar party together.
True.
You could possibly win a prize.
Did you win?
I won.
Yes.
I got 14 out of the I forgot how many 20 something awards correct, and I won by a landslide.
You read the Academy's mind, Chris.
I did. The day started off with Boyhood. It was a great movie. This was, you know, if you don't know what it is, it was filmed over 12 years with the same actors. So you followed this boy from whenever he was a child to whenever he basically turns 18. And it was basically like 12 shoots over the course of 12 years. And it was really, really cool. Like, great, great job. Like, it just boggles my mind how they were able to capture these moments. And they even captured iconic moments that were iconic to those times. Like, there's a part where his sister is singing Oops, I Did It Again from, like, back whenever that was actually a thing and that was popular.
That's funny.
It's like, in my mind, I'm like, you have to be able to look at that song and realize this song is going to be iconic 12 years from now to include it in the movie then.
Yeah.
Like, that would be us, like, looking at some song right now and be like, this song is going to be iconic 12 years from now.
I don't know, but, like, for a while there, well, that's right. You're right. Okay, so I was going to say,
what would you pick from today?
For a while there, you would, basically, all you encountered was the iconic things. Like, you would encounter NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera, and you pick almost any of their big hits, and it would have been fine today. But what if you were the one person that's like BB Mac?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Or like, what if you were like, oh, that's totally going to be a big thing. You know? Yeah. Right. So, well, like, that's what I was saying. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, it's, you're right. It's harder than it at first seems.
Well, we're like, we look back at it now and be like, yeah, those were the iconic moments. So that's what I'm saying. Right. We look back at it from this lens from
it's
now.
True. It's true.
Then do you realize, hey, this is an iconic moment? I don't know. I don't think so. Like, it's just a thing that you experience and later you realize, man, that was iconic.
That was a big deal.
Yeah. And yeah. This happens several times throughout this movie.
That's cool.
And it's just like, man, that's, you know, crazy.
Was it that they filmed just a bunch of stuff, like gobs of stuff, and they just picked the stuff, like, you know,
I don't know. Like, I really want to get more into, like, the production process. I want to, like, buy the Blu-ray and, like, watch, like, some featurettes and stuff like that on there and get more into the production of it. Because, yeah, it's just like, yeah. How do you go about doing this, you know? Yeah. And also, like, how do you go about structuring this narrative over the course of 12 years? Like, it's just it's wild, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. The second one I saw was The Theory of Everything. It's the one about Stephen Hawking.
Awesome.
And his wife. Honestly, like, it was a great movie. I wasn't, like, super, super impressed with it. He won Best Actor.
Yeah.
And which I was honestly kind of surprised at. Like, he did a great job. But it was Redmayne. He won Best Actor over Michael Keaton from Birdman, who I thought was going to win. Benedict Cumberbatch is also nominated along with Steve Carell and Bradley Cooper. Any of them honestly could have won.
Right.
They all did great jobs. I was just kind of surprised that I thought, like, if I was going to rank them, I honestly would have put him near the end of the list of who was going to win that particular category. But I thought that Felicity Jones did a phenomenal job as his wife. And it makes me more excited for the new standalone Star Wars movie, which she has been cast in as the lead. So I'm super pumped for that now.
Dude, I'm so excited for I'm excited for the Star Wars universe to just kick off, because I feel like it's just going to be rapid fire, one punch after the other, and I'm just going to be so excited.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The third movie we watched was Birdman, which was amazing. Like, everyone, you should go see this movie. It won Best Picture, Best Director, Cinematography. It deserved all of them. Basically, it's made, like, from a cinematography standpoint, it's edited in such a way and made to look like the entire movie is all one shot. Now, there are cut points and definite places where there are cuts, but it is one solid, unbroken movement through this entire movie.
That's
for,
cool.
For 2 hours.
That's really cool.
Which
I can't imagine. Okay, so I can't imagine the work that went into mapping out, like, okay, so then the camera goes this way or that way. And it's you think about Gravity from, like, last year,
mm-hmm.
where Alfonso Cuarón, like, he basically built that entire movie in a computer before he actually, like, shot it.
Right.
And so, like, but this takes it to a whole nother level where you've got, I don't know, it's like, because you've got to cut together and you've got to shoot it as if it's one thing, like one
right.
continuous shot. Like, that's just, oh, it's nuts. Nuts, Chris.
Yeah. The thing that blew my mind were the performances during these long takes. So you have these long takes, and then you have, like, these just mind-blowing performances that are happening in the midst of this. You know, you have Michael Keaton. He was nominated for Best Actor in a leading role. You have Edward Norton for actor in a supporting role. Emma Stone for actress in a supporting role. It was just accolades all around. Like, they deserved all those nominations, and honestly, like, they could have all won, and it would have been amazing. I forgot to mention Patricia Arquette from Boyhood actually won Best Supporting Actress. I wasn't super impressed with her performance, and it's interesting because this was filmed over 12 years. So, like, really honestly, the first half of this movie, I was not impressed with her acting at all.
Mm.
But you have to remember that this was. over 6 years.
Yeah,
and then
I mean,
the next 6 years, like, she becomes a better actress as you go on.
Yeah, I was about to say, at some point, I would imagine that you kind of, like, go, oh, okay.
Right.
You know?
Well, and, you know, you think about, like, you know, if you start out and you're acting 12 years on, you're going to be a better actor than you were 12 years before.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, at some point, you, like, you just acquire the skills, you know, over that amount of time.
But, like, the beginning, like, the first... you know, probably half the movie. Like, it wasn't just that I was just not impressed by her. It was like, this is bad acting.
Well, like, yeah, like you said, like, a lot of times, like, you look at even, like, actors that you grew up with, like, even a lot of, like, the Harry Potter kind of actors there, while they're all phenomenal actors, there are times in the earlier movies where the younger actors and, like, even some of the, you know, older actors or whatever, they are not as good at that role as they are later on in the series. And that, you know, if you think about that, like, that took place over a decent number of years in their lives. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was multiple movies and that sort of thing. But, you know, it's the same sort of story where it's like, okay, there are times whenever you just,
right,
you know, aren't as good as you were, you know, the next day or the next year.
Right.
You know.
The next film we saw was Selma. It was a good movie. It was oddly historically inaccurate, in terms of, like, they mischaracterized Martin Luther King's relationship with Lyndon B. Johnson. They kind of characterized it as this contentious relationship where, you know, like, they were both basically at each other's throats trying to get each other to do what they wanted. And while there was, you know, there's always some kind of, like, political maneuvering, the historical records that we have, taped conversations and written documents about their interactions, do not show this contentious relationship.
Well, that's something that people, like, slip into narratives a lot of times is like, hey, okay, so a way that you write compelling scenes or whatever is like, okay, so what if they just don't like each other, or, like, they, you know, what if there's, like, some sort of conflict and things like that? And while that works for, like, fiction, in nonfiction, something that's supposed to be a historical representation of what actually happened, it's yeah.
And I don't necessarily mind, taking liberties in movies like this, but I feel like if you characterize an entire, like, year and a half to 2 year long relationship as something that it wasn't, that's a little odd. Furthermore, the Martin Luther King estate would not allow the filmmakers to use his actual speeches. So every single speech and what was portrayed as a speech, every single public speaking event in this movie was rewritten because they couldn't use the actual speeches.
So here's a question for you, and I don't know if you know the answer, is why?
I don't know why. I have my, like... You know, there were also some, like, you know, I won't go into the specifics. There were also, like,
obviously there's maybe a disagreement of some sort, or, like, that they just didn't trust these people with it or something.
I really don't know. Like,
I don't know.
All I know is that they couldn't use them. They didn't use them, and they rewrote them. And at times they rewrote them, and it was a large departure. Like, if you're going to rewrite something, hey, keep it along the same lines of what you're, you know, the original spirit of the speech, I guess.
Yeah. Or maybe, I mean, yeah. I mean, you would want to, but maybe the fear was that they would get called on it if it was too similar.
I don't think that's it at all. Like, you know, and that's not the way copyright works. Like,
yeah,
you just have to change it. You can still keep the same, mean the same thing, say the same thing, just say it differently with different words.
Yeah.
And you're not, you know, you're not stealing that piece of work, of spoken word, basically.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, that was weird, you know, just, I don't know, just some ways that some other things were portrayed were weird. That being said,
yeah,
the cinematography was really cool. The color, like, if you are into color on movies or you want to be a colorist, like, this is a good film to look at. It was colored very, very well. Like, everything had this a lot of good color grading to it. It was done very, very well. It was interesting the way that it was shot. Most of it felt handheld, but, like, in the calmer scenes, or if he's just, you know, you're just having a conversation, you could barely tell it was moving, like, not hardly at all. But then whenever the action would kind of increase, you know, to become a lot more handheld.
Did that make it more exciting? Because obviously, like, I mean, you know, I mean, if you're having a, like a lot of like Oscar movies and things, like the pacing is a little bit slower than like action movies or whatever. But if, you know, they can bring a lot of excitement to it depending on how it's shot.
I mean, it kind of, I noticed it about halfway through. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it did up the tension, you know, like where it's kind of like, okay, why is this scene feel contentious and feel kind of like, you know, why am I uneasy right now? And a lot of it was because of the handheld look, but it was done seamlessly where you didn't just pop out at you. Like we mentioned whenever we did the review for Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Like there was a couple like handheld shots that were just like outrageously handheld for no reason out of nowhere.
Just like wildly like, he can't hold the camera straight.
The most erratic things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And then they came out of nowhere. Like it wasn't kind of like it was handheld and then this was just more handheld. It was like, no, there was no handheld than this crazy handheld shot. And then no handheld. This worked a little more flawlessly and seamlessly, which is cool.
That's also cool because like in a period piece, you want to feel immersed and you want to feel kind of like you're there. And so like if it's a little bit more handheld, it'll feel a little bit more realistic to where like, you know, you don't sit with your head in a, you know, perfectly still.
Right.
You kind of like look around, you know, so I can see that enhancing the immersion into the period.
Yeah. American Sniper was the next one we saw. Amazing film. Like we saw it. This is the only one I had seen before the marathon. Watched it again, and man, dude, like I cried even more the second time. It's a great movie. It won for best sound editing.
They need to put that on the back of their like Blu-ray box.
Sound edit. Oh,
no.
Wait.
Cry even more the second time.
Yes, cry even more. Yes.
Buy this movie to cry even more the second time.
That was the only award it won. It also was nominated for Bradley Cooper for best actor in a leading role.
Mm-hmm.
And man, he deserved it, honestly. Like, you know, that's why I was so surprised. You know, like I thought he deserved it more than like, you know, Eddie Redmayne. Bradley Cooper, like whenever I was watching, I never for a second like thought that's Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, and Bradley Cooper, honestly, like that's surprising to me because like Bradley Cooper is one of those actors that a lot of times like he's playing Bradley Cooper.
Right.
You know, he's a lot of times that is the case. Some movies he's amazing and I love him as an actor. Even whenever he is playing a character and it's Bradley Cooper. You know, but it's like it's harder in my mind for him to disappear into a role.
I mean, I kind of agree, but then I kind of disagree. Like, you know, I think whenever his career started, he started with that kind of like, okay, I'm just this playboy. And that's basically every role that he was cast in was like he was a playboy. And
it's
so that kind of became like he was being typecast into this role. Now, starting with like Silver Linings Playbook, moving into things like American Hustle and a couple of other period pieces he did, and now this.
For sure.
Like, you know, he's definitely stepped away from that. He hasn't played that role. And the other thing I think that kind of plays into it, his other iconic role was in The Hangover, all three Hangover films, and he's also kind of that guy.
That, like, charismatic, you know, like, you know, guy.
And so, but like recently in the recent...
And by the way, Silver Linings Playbook, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great, great, great film. You know, as are his other movies since then. But this, you know, like he gained like 40 pounds for the role. He like took on a Texas accent that never broke, never sounded like he's just putting this on.
Yeah.
Like his acting is just flawless. It was amazing. And it's definitely a movie like, you know, you should go see it. I'm reading the book right now. Like it's a great, great, great story.
Does it crank up the intensity?
It does.
Like I could imagine edge of the seat kind of Hurt Locker style. Nail biting.
Yes, there is.
Awesome.
The next movie we saw was The Imitation Game. Great movie. Phenomenal movie. Benedict Cumberbatch did a great job. It won for best adapted screenplay and definitely deserved it. This story, I guess on Twitter I said it's the best World War II based movie I've seen in years. It's my favorite historical period, and like honestly, like, you know, a lot of times you'll see movies and it's kind of like, yeah, this is set here, and this is the only reason it's even being talked about is because it's set in World War II. But like this, felt like this story, like it's such a unique perspective on the war and a unique story within the war that hasn't been told before. That it's just like. It deserves all the attention it gets.
What's interesting about that is that it was a long time into that movie being out that before I realized, and before I actually like saw that it was a World War II film.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's interesting. You know, it's a lot of films are notable because of the period that they're in, because of being a World War II movie. Like I feel like the tank movie Fury.
Yeah.
Very much like felt like, oh, it's a World War II movie, and people went to see it because they wanted a really good World War II movie. I didn't see it. Maybe it was awesome. But this one, it was like, no, this is a great film, and it's in World War II.
Yeah.
You know, and so like it was just kind of like it's good outside of being, you know, in right. that time period. So.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things, you know, about it, you know, like this story honestly wasn't even like known until like 50 years ago. And
yeah.
And that he was posthumously, I think, knighted or something like that by the Queen of England. It says at the end of the movie he was basically given some accolades, you know, like posthumously. But it's just like these, you know, the things that these people were doing, since they were it was all secretive,
yeah,
they couldn't tell anyone, you Dude. know, and it's just mind-boggling. And it's like, man, like I'm that's why this is stories like this is why I love history so much, where it's just like, man, you know, because honestly, you don't really know the true stories of everything that happened until, you know, I mean, what is it? This is almost 75 years yeah. later or something like that, you know? So yeah. like you don't know these stories until, you know, so long down the road. But I love looking at things from that perspective.
Well, even like, you know, things about like World War One, and I mean, all of the big time period, it's like, you're still finding things out. You're still finding letters. You're still finding. And so like, and maybe somebody put something together from this piece. So it's nice to, finally get, you know, get yeah. A great story told.
Right. The next one we saw was Whiplash. Amazing movie. It came out, this past Tuesday. I went out straight out and bought it.
That's awesome.
I'll let you loan it. Will you loan it to me, John?
I'm going to loan it to other people.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to become the next Blockbuster. I'm going to rent it. If anyone wants to rent the movie Whiplash from me, I will loan it to you.
Yes. But yeah,
it's not like, my copy. It's Chris's.
I'm going to loan it to you so you can watch it. Like, T.K. Simmons won for Best Supporting Actor. Totally deserved it over everyone else. Like, and I'm saying, you know, Edward Norton did an amazing job in Birdman. Like, he, you know, like, really made that film kind of what it is. And T.K. Simmons, even more so. Like, definitely, like, hands down, the winner in this category. What was fun on Oscar night was, like, this was the first one that they kind of whet our appetites with, like, a semi-big big win. You know, like, here's a semi-big, this is the best supporting actor.
Chris, they always do.
But then you go into, like, okay, here is film editing, here is foreign film and documentary yeah. and all this kind of stuff, and then you get the big ones later. But he was the first one who won, and I was, like, that set the tone of the night for me. I'm like, yes, this is going to be a good night.
Cool.
The people who deserve these roles are going to win, who deserve these awards, I mean.
So whenever you were doing your predictions,
yes.
like whenever you were predicting which ones would win these things, yeah. were you doing it under the guise of like, oh, this is what the Academy would say, or were you doing it under like, hey, this is what I would
say? No, I wanted to win. And so like I was voting on,
there you
okay,
go.
What would the Academy, like who would actually win these categories?
But this was one that you agreed with the Academy.
I mean, this
like,
was one
that you agreed that with what you thought the Academy.
Yeah, because would, the performance was just so stand out. You're just like, how, I don't see how people in their right minds, like, unless everyone at the Academy is just daft. They have had strokes.
What if they're Daft Punk?
While they were filling out these forms.
I just feel like they're Daft Punk now. I feel
possibly.
Like they, I feel like they all have those big helmets on and they're all like just doing awesome techno stuff.
Yeah, unless they're crazy, like they're going to, this guy's going to win. And
yeah.
so that was kind of how I went. There were very few. I think there was a couple of things. Like I on my list, I voted for Emma Stone for Best Supporting Actress because I honestly wanted her to win. But
yeah.
You know.
So that's always the toss up when like whenever you, you know, talk about like, okay, who do I predict is going to win? Who I think is going to, it's
yeah.
always the toss up between what do I think
yeah.
and what do I think that they think,
yeah.
you know, that whole thing. So
the Grand Budapest Hotel was the last one we watched, and it's a great movie. It won big at the Oscars. It won best, costume design, best production design. It won best original score.
The costume design is one that I had it down for because like I've just seen pictures and stuff. I know I like, okay, so I haven't seen the movies, any of these movies actually. I need to go through and watch them all.
Yes.
But that was one that I had seen like a bunch of stuff and it just was awesome. Like the costume yeah. design was so cool and yeah.
And it's a great Wes Anderson film, probably his best film, and it was a lot of fun. Like, it was a cool way to end the except for the fact that it was, you know, 5 a.m. and I'd been up forever.
You just marathoned through a ton of movies.
Right. It was a great way to end that that day on that movie, and I recommend it to anyone.
And then immediately hop in a taxi.
Exactly. Yes. I wanted to now run down like the list of all the winners just so we can cover them all and maybe talk about some of the ones we hadn't talked about yet. But best picture, as we talked about, was Birdman. Director Alejandro González Iñárritu for Birdman. Actress in a leading role, Julianne Moore for Still Alice. I haven't seen that movie. I've heard good things. It deals with touches on Alzheimer's as the topic. Actor in the leading role, Eddie Redmayne, The Theory of Everything. Actress in a supporting role, Patricia Arquette, Boyhood. Actor in a supporting role, J.K. Simmons, Whiplash. Foreign language film, Ida. It was the Polish film. Animated feature film, Big Hero 6. I think it totally deserved it.
Totally awesome.
Except for if the Lego movie had been in this category, it would have deserved it.
Actually, I don't know about that. Like, I don't know. Like, whenever I think about both of those movies, I think that Big Hero 6, like, not from a storytelling perspective necessarily, but from the visuals and from, like, they took something that is a genre that's kind of, like, plateaued a little bit, like, where you have, like, okay, so how much more realistic and how much more whatever can you get this stuff? And they took it and, like, upped the game. And I don't know. It's just, it was an interesting combination on the visual side of things. As far as storytelling goes, I would say, like, a movie for sure.
But I mean, I don't even think I don't think that Big Hero 6 can touch Lego Movie in terms of the visuals either, just from the fact that so much of it was done, like, who else has done a Lego Movie where, like, it looks like Legos? Like, most of it just looks crazy. Like, there were times where, like, they animated, like, so you can see people's thumbprints on these stupid things.
Well, and their goal with that movie was, like, in any frame, if you paused it, that you would be able to build that frame.
Right.
You know, so, like, that was, you're right. That was a really honorable thing to do. So, too bad they didn't get nominated, though.
Writing and adapted screenplay, Graham Moore, The Imitation Game. Writing original screenplay was a lot of people for Birdman, which I have something I forgot. Yeah, Birdman won that, the original screenplay as well, which it was a great, great screenplay. Cinematography, Birdman. Music, The Grand Budapest Hotel. I was really bummed that it wasn't Hans Zimmer for Interstellar.
Yeah. I think that the mixing of that and the way that, like, it had so many like reported issues with different theaters and things, that probably played against it, but the score was really
see, like, that's
nice.
Separate things. You know, that'd be like if it had been nominated for sound mixing.
Yeah, but it's like any amount of, like, negative publicity whenever it comes to the sound or the you know, mix, I don't know. I just feel like it might have negatively impacted it.
I don't know, maybe. Like, the Academy's usually pretty good at voting on things for the merits of what they are, because, and I'll get to that in a second. Like, music, original song, Glory from Selma. The one I wanted to win was Everything is Awesome from the Lego Movie. Makeup and hairstyling, Grand Budapest Hotel. Costume design, Grand Budapest Hotel. Visual effects, Interstellar won for that.
Nice.
Definitely deserved. Film editing. This is where film editing, Whiplash. And you'll, like, whenever you watch it, like, it's crazy. Like, how suspenseful this movie is based on the editing, because it's like, these are instruments.
Yeah.
This is a jazz band, and it makes it just, you're on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
Because of the film editing. Sound, this is where, like, it kind of proves my point on, like, why it confuses me. Like, I don't necessarily think that they didn't vote for Interstellar.
Gotcha.
Sound editing, American Sniper. Great sound editing. You had all the bullets, all the wind, everything. Like, everything was, like, you know, if you edit this, it's so complex. Sound mixing, Whiplash. Whiplash was not nominated for sound editing. There were a lot of times in Whiplash, I think its downfall is, where the audio, what you're seeing, is out of sync with what you're hearing.
Mm.
Okay, and that goes to the sound editing. Did not get nominated for sound editing, and would not have won for sound editing, because
right.
The sound editing was bad. But the mixing, phenomenal. So they do a pretty good job of, like, okay, even though
separating
it was out of
out.
Sync and the editing was just terrible on this in terms of the sound, the mixing was phenomenal. And so, like, they do a pretty good job of doing that. Honestly, I think that the reason that Grand Budapest won original score was just because of how unique it is. It's very, very unique. Feels very, very, you know, quirky it's kind of based on a time period and a style, and so that's why it wasn't just a traditional orchestral score.
Gotcha.
The final one, visual effects. Oh, wait, hang on. Final was production design, Grand Budapest Hotel, a documentary feature, Citizen 4. I haven't seen that. I really want to see that. It's about Edward Snowden. Documentary short subject, Crisis Hotline, Veterans Press 1. Short film was Feast. It was the short film in front of Big Hero 6.
Yep.
That was short film animated. Short film live action was The Phone Call. And that's it.
Cool.
Those were the winners at the 87th Academy Awards.
That's awesome.
Yeah. This was a great year for movies. You know, like I think about last year and there were standout movies, you know, like Gravity and 12 Years a Slave, you know. But other than that, there weren't a whole lot of like, you know, there were other movies that I liked. You know, Dallas Buyers Club had a couple of, you know, great performances by Matthew McConaughey and Jared Leto. But,
yeah,
you know, like there were a lot more like big movies that won everything, you know, like that were just like obvious winners last year versus this year. I think it was a lot more spread out and like there were more films whose quality was kind of, you know, the same. And I honestly think I like that more than like these years where there's just these huge standout movies.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it also makes it interesting. If you're in it only for the awards, it's hard because it's like you would bring out a movie or you'd have something come out and it's like any other year.
Right.
You know, we maybe would have won. Yeah. But then, you know, you have like this really tough field, you know, that sort of thing. But it's like, I think like for an audience perspective, it's like the more movies that are amazing, the better it is, obviously, you know, for the consumer and for the average moviegoer.
Well, that's it for this week. You can check us out online at standtargetpodcast.com. You can also check out our, I guess, just Arrow podcast this week. Flash is on like a month vacation.
And after this week, actually, Arrow is on a couple of weeks vacation.
That's true. So it'll just be us sitting here talking on this podcast for a few weeks.
Like it's depressing.
No, I'm actually... Oh, well, I mean, you know, if you want to listen to
only this one.
If you want to listen to our voices for a lot every single week, yeah.
We're also on the countdown to episode 100, and we're trying to plan some really cool, special, fun things for episode 100.
Yes.
I've got some cool things, and we've been talking about some cool things.
Yes.
But anyway, so... keep your ear out for that. I think we're going to do it on April 1st or April 2nd. If anyone is in the Nashville area and wants to come to that, we might probably have room. I don't know. I'm saying a lot of things that I'm just unsure of right now.
You're writing checks you can't cash.
Am writing checks that it's like they might bounce right now. we might very well have like 30 people in this small room that we're in right here. Anyway.
That would be terrible.
That would be hilarious, dude.
But yeah,
it's like a mosh pit in here.
We'll keep you updated on that. You can tweet at us, ask us questions at StayOnTargetPod, at ChrisWright250.
And at JohnWright777. We've still got some posters if you want to submit a topic. We've got Interstellar posters. If you want, just tweet at StayOnTargetPod and hashtag it StayOnTopic. And ask us a question. Give us a topic to talk about. We will give you a Interstellar poster if we pick it.
That's right.
Awesome.
Well, that's it for this week. We'll see you next time on Stay on Target.